Bill, there are a number of healers around this planet who are doing hands-on healing, hands-off healing as well. John of God, people that are doing some remarkable things. Tell me about your research, first of all, into this. And that leads us, of course, into chasing the cure.
Well, it started out, as I said at the very outset of the program, of a personal experience. And a lot of these things, these investigations into anomalies, I think, start out of personal experience. So something rocks your world. So I said in Sturrock's book, A Tale of Two Sciences, he recounts how he's out there in a field and he sees a UFO. And the question is really this. Are you going to look into this or are you going to walk away? And the vast majority of people are going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Sturrock kind of put it in the back of his head, how to finish his academic career, not finish it, but finish his preparation, et cetera, and then once you are in a position of a little more security, then you have, I guess, more freedom to do this. And so, you know, one of the jokes, it's not really a joke around the SSE, is first get tenure. So if you're a fledging scientist starting out as an assistant professor someplace, and you say, "Hey, I'd like to look into UFOs," you've got a short career.
Extremely
short career. I'm getting into my stuff eventually, but I had a guy from Australia come to one of my talks, and he came up after, and I was presenting my healing research, and he was all excited. I mean, wide-eyed, and this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I wanna work with you. I wanna. And I said, "Get away from me." And he said, "What do you mean? This is my life's calling. I want to look into this." And I said, "Get away from me. Go back home. Go do your academic career. Start out. Be traditional. Shut up. Get tenure, and then we'll talk." And about a year later, you know, first he was mad at me, and then about a year later I got an email from him. He said, "Thanks." He said, "Yeah, you saved me. I was caught up in the exuberance of the moment, and I didn't think through the larger issues. First get tenure." So a long, long time ago, before I was tenured, my back was fixed. And quite, it certainly wasn't supernatural. I never thought of it in supernatural terms. But this guy who also claimed not to be a believer, and he was doing psychic things, put his hands on my back, and my pain went away.
Did you feel a rush of energy, Bill, or anything like that?
I actually felt something more akin to being Novocained.
All right.
So he put his hands on my back, lower back pain kind of thing, chronic, and it felt as if, first of all, my back was being heated, and then it felt like it was being Novocained. And then it felt like it wore off from the outside in, and I haven't had a pain since.
That is something.
And so both of us are kind of there and going, "What's this about?" You know, now he was just starting to think of himself as a healer, and I was kind of observing this. And then the question, what do you do? Well, the answer, first of all, is you do nothing until you get tenure. And then then you have a little bit more freedom to look into this stuff. So, again, the option is, to put it in cold terms, I can say, "Gee, that was an interesting whoops," or maybe something's really going on here, and maybe there's something interesting. You know, so you see a UFO, and you can go, "Well, gee, I don't know," and walk away, or you can say, "Maybe there's something interesting." You can find out all sorts of, you can experience lots of weird stuff, and you can walk away, or you can look into it. So I kind of filed it for a few years, and then I watched this guy do healing after healing after healing after healing. And it was really interesting. And there were some interesting patterns going on here. Again, I never thought it was supernatural, but there were some interesting patterns going on. And so, for example, he wasn't good with benign growths. Benign growths didn't seem to respond. Malignant growths responded.
Interesting.
I think that's interesting.
That is fascinating.
Very, very aggressive malignant growths responded faster than slow-growing ones. Some things he couldn't affect at all. And this is like a standing joke of mine, but it's not really a joke. He couldn't do warts.
Couldn't do warts.
Couldn't do warts. No effect on a wart. Malignant tumor, not a problem. A wart, that's Mount Everest.
Interesting.
And so I watched a couple of hundred of these things, and I kind of filed it, and I said, oh, now what's going on here? You know, what are the patterns? And it was really hard to figure out what the patterns were. So you asked me in a previous segment, well, what do you do? How do you investigate this stuff? Well, one way to investigate it is simply to watch clinically what's going on.
And you're taking notes during all these cases?
I'm taking notes. I'm kind of just observing, but I'm observing loosely. And I'm saying, okay, this someone comes in with MS. What happens? Well, not much happens. Someone comes in with a malignant tumor. What happens? Dramatic things happen. Someone comes in with rheumatoid arthritis. What happens? You know, so you get the idea. And so I watched a few hundred healings, some more successful than others. Some things, no effect whatsoever. And you're scratching your head going, now what could be behind this? And so it screamed, just screamed at me for we got to make this a little bit more controlled. And this goes to the question of when you observe something, we'll call it in the field, or in the case of healing, clinically, can you reproduce that under laboratory conditions? So I met up with, actually at this guy's place, watching healings, with a geologist from City University of New York, Dave Crinsley. And he and I started talking, and both of us became more and more frustrated watching these healings, going, what could be behind it? And Crinsley had some power and some authority and some contacts, and he set up a test at City University of New York under very controlled conditions of cancerous animals. And these cancerous animals had 100% fatality, mice, 100% fatality. No mouse had ever lived past 27 days with a particular form of mammary cancer. Now, here you have something that's not certainly related to belief, on the assumption that the mice don't believe, and now we can do some really tightly controlled experiments. So I convinced this guy, this healer who had fixed my back, to come into the lab and to do experiments with animals under very tightly controlled conditions.
And did he do that willingly, or did you have to drag him in?
Oh, I was dragging. I dragged him around before this to a bunch of parapsychology laboratories, for example. Because he could do a bunch of kind of strange stuff, and I wanted to see it under controlled conditions. And it was pretty interesting to me. You talk about being open-minded and not. I couldn't get the parapsychologist to look at this guy, which was just astonishing to me at the time. I had assumed parapsychologists would be a little bit more open than they were. It turns out, at least in my impression, was that parapsychologists are as closed as any other traditional scientist. They're just closed about different things. So I didn't find a whole lot of skeptics out there. I found more believers, and I just wanted to find out what's going on.